good book, to hymn number 481. Got something on the, I don't know, Brother Julius, if you saw it or not, I got a thing on Facebook concerning the radio, and all it said was the red book is the best. All right, let's sing the first, second, and last verses, 481, Sunlight. Let's stand.
I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of his love we all my darkness flee. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today, sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sins, I have been the sunlight of his love.
Lots of sunlight. I'm glad of that. But you know, when it's winter, 30 degrees, dark outside, you can still have sunlight in your soul because of Jesus. Isn't that good? All right. I like that part that says he took away my load of sin. And that load gets heavy, doesn't it? But he is good to do that. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Bill, lead us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have the privilege to be in God's house today. We want to thank you for your people that are here. Pray that you'll give us something special today. The Lord, give us something from the Word that we can use in our Christian lives. The Lord, help us not to walk away empty-handed. The Lord, help us to walk away with something that we can use today. The Lord, bless the pastors and preachers. The Lord, bless the singing. The Lord, pray that you'll bless even Sister Teresa, the special singer. Pray that you'll just give us something awesome today. Thankful for what you do, and we do want to give you the praise, honor, and all the glory. Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. All right. Pray for the choir.
Page number 7, the choir. Of Golden Daybreak, page number 7.
Thank you.
Woke up this morning.
Woke up.
Breath in your body. Somebody else. You blessed. How are you blessed?
I'm on my way to heaven.
On the way to heaven. Amen. Got good health. Amen. All right. Somebody else. How are we blessed? One way we're blessed.
Walk and talk.
We can be mobile. That's a blessing, isn't it? I tell you what, a lot of people would love to be in the house of the Lord today, and they're not. But they can't be because of their health. Miss Parsons is blessed. She's in the house of God today, and we're glad to have her. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? How are you blessed? Anybody else before we go on? Jesus and salvation.
Roof over your head. Food on the table.
You're really blessed. Amen. All right. Lots of good things. I tell you what, the world doesn't even understand what it means to be blessed. The world says we got to live in condominiums. We got to drive brand new sports cars. We've got to be able to afford $20 meals, $50 meals in fancy restaurants. The world doesn't even know what it means to be blessed. I tell you, if you sit down at your table with a mater sandwich and some Vienna sausages and just enjoy and get a nice, for some people, be a nice hot cup of coffee.
Amen.
Other people, it's a glass of sweet tea or some Diet Dr. Pepper. Caffeine free, then you're blessed. So that's right. It today. We're blessed. The Lord is good. Amen, brother. Amen. All right. Let's have our fellowship song, and that's hymn number 500. Right when the roll is called up yonder, we'll sing the first and second, and fellowship, and come back on the last.
Yonder I'll be there. When the roll is on, yonder I'll be there. When the roll is on, yonder I'll be there.
Teresa, they'll be leaving after church tonight, going down to Brother Sammy Allen's for a week of camp meeting. And you just sometimes you got to go get the battery charged. And so you were going to pray for them that God give them safety and traveling grace. And then you pray for us. We'll be doing our last week-long Bible school for the summer down in South Boston this week. So we're going to be driving back and forth from South Boston. So that's a pretty good little trek from Martinsville. But you pray Revelation Baptist Church, Brother Chris McGee, and so pray for us as we'll be doing our last week of Bible school. Let's pray for our Bible school on the 27th. I hope you've got some flyers that you're mailing them out, passing them out, and advertise. We're going to do something, and maybe this will incite us and excite us to get motivated for Bible school. But Brother Julius has been so kind to lend us his face. His face. We can have at least 50 people total here for Bible school. That's children, adults, everybody. Brother Julius has agreed to take a pie in the puss.
All right.
So, if you will, if we can have a pie, get... I have at least 50 people here. We're going to have a nice pie and put it right in his face.
Make sure it's sloppy.
Well, no, we're not going that way. He wanted to dunk the deacons, what he wanted to do. But somehow I got a feeling that would just not work, number one. Number two, we are in drought conditions, so anyway. So keep that in mind on the 27th, if you will. All right. Sister, you sing for us.
One night upon the sea, a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand. Angry winds around it blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows rolled. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves control. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. Though the storms of life may rage and the billows round you roll, He can calm life's troubled sea as He did in days of old. As upon life's sea you sail, trust in Him who never fails. I'm so glad He sails with me. He's the master of the sea. When He reaches out His hand, billows cease at His command. Winds and waves obey His will. When He says to them, be still, what man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea.
That. Turn in your Bibles with me at the book of Titus in the New Testament. Book of Titus in the New Testament. We are scheduled this Wednesday for our business meeting, but since we're not going to be here, and Brother Buddy, Miss Teresa's not going to be able to postpone that and reset our business meeting. Be in prayer for Brother Junior. Miss Irma, as you can tell, is not here again today. And so let's be sure and pray for them. Pray for his health and the needs there. All right. Book of Titus, I want to read a couple of verses. Think about some things tonight, or this afternoon, excuse me, this morning. I'll get it right in a minute. Let's look at verse number 9 of chapter 1 of Titus. It says, holding fast the faithful word as it hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Then over in chapter number 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. What I want to do is I just want to kind of use these verses to think, or to cause a thinking process about a word. The word that I want you to see is the word faithful. Verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word. And in verse number 8, this is a faithful saying. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts and bless us and minister to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. I had the opportunity this week while we were in Bible school down in Cape Fear, I talked to a gentleman, and I'm not sure if I had taught this gentleman at the Greensboro Bible Institute or not. It had been many years since he had been there, and I'm thinking that I'm going this year, I think I'm going into my 22nd year teaching at GBI, so I've had so many students through the years, don't remember quite all of them. So I don't know if I had this brother or not, but he's now living in Cape Fear, Wilmington area. And we got to talking one night. We talked about how the Lord had called him into the ministry. And he talked about how that the Lord had worked in his life about working in a children or young person's home. Some of you older saints remember the ministry of Brother Lester Roloff. Brother Roloff had many, many homes. He had homes for delinquent boys and for delinquent girls. He even had homes for the elderly. And I remember many times how that we'd hear on the Christian radio where prayer was lifted up for Brother Roloff because he was put in jail, because he would have these homes for these delinquent young people, but he would not take a state license. His argument, and rightly so, was that a state license would tell you exactly what you had to teach, and not only what you had to teach, what you couldn't teach. And then it went a step farther and told you who you could have work in your home. So he would not take a state license. That caused many problems. He was in jail many times. And again, rightly so, because if the state came in, they could tell him that, hey, you can't teach the Bible. And they would say, oh yes, you must have homosexuals teaching on your staff. Or you must have, you know, atheists. And so on down the line, that's what was the problem there. Well, I remember when I was pastoring my first church, and it was 1982. And I remember when my wife, I was in my study at my home, and I remember when my wife says, honey, you need to come in and hear this. And I went into the, we had, this is back, some of you remember when you used to have those big console units, remember those, where you had radio and you had a turntable and you had 8-track, remember those old dinosaurs? And we had one of those, and the radio was on. It was a Christian radio station, and it talked about how that Brother Roloff had died in a plane crash. And I can remember that like it was yesterday in 1982 when Brother Roloff died. Well, I remember hearing Brother Roloff make statements like, you know, if you think it's bad now, he said, just wait and see. Now, this gentleman told me, he said, we started a home, and he told me the name of the home, but I'm afraid I forgot it. And I think it was a boys' home. And he said, we had the boys' home, and we carried out the discipline, and we did what we had to do. And he said, one year, he said, during the... Now, with that particular home, the students would go home in the summer. That's sort of like, you remember, the Malachi boys' home that was with us for homecoming last year. They didn't have all their boys in yet. Their boys still had not come in as of September when we had our homecoming. But lots of times, I understand, these young people can go home for the summer and come back. Well, that's what happened with this particular situation. And this brother told me, he said, well, he said, two of the boys got together during the summer and decided that they were going to start some lies so that they wouldn't have to go back to the home. He never told me what the lies were. But whatever happened, he said it was absolute hell for them, he and his wife. It was horrible. And he said eventually, he said the state got in it and all kinds of problems, and he said, bottom line, he said, our home was shut down. And he was talking about, he said, some of the things that the Roloff ministers went through in the 60s and 70s, he said, are nothing compared to what's out there right now. And that's true. It's very true. You had better make sure that if you're going to get called to a ministry like such as the Malachi Boys Home or whatever, you know, you better know God's in it. Because it'll tax you. It'll tax you. It's a very difficult ministry because there was a day, some of you remember this, there was a day that you know, for instance, let me use a broad spectrum here. There was a day if a woman claimed that a man raped her, the burden of proof was on the woman. Now,
All a woman has to do is make a slight innuendo, and that man can go to jail. So things always flip-flop. Well, it's that way in working with young people, because now you wonder if there's even a little mark on a young person, which could be something that happened from a wrestling match out in the yard to, you know, falling off, literally a slide or something. But now everybody wants to cry, abuse, abuse, abuse. Well, that's where it was with this gentleman. He said, it got so bad. He said, preacher, it got so bad. He said that I could not stay in the Greensboro area. And he said, we left and we came down here. He said, we're helping in the ministry here with Pastor David Braddy. And he said, I don't know why we're here. And he said, I don't know what we're doing. He said, I know God's put me here and I'm trying to hold up the arms of my pastor. He said, but I know this. And here's what he said. He said, but I know what God's called me to do. And he said, God's called me to be faithful. And I thought about that. Now, if we were to think about different types of ministries, somebody might hear Miss Teresa play and sing, and they would say, I can't do that. I can't sing and I can't play. I don't have a ministry. Or maybe they hear a pastor get up and preach and they said, I can't preach, therefore I do not have a ministry. And then they might listen to a Sunday school teacher. And the Sunday school teacher has everything outlined and it's a great lesson and there are things planned for the Sunday school class and all of that. And they said, I don't have those abilities, therefore I have no ministry. But as I look through the Bible, I see a multiplicity of one thing talked about continually, continually, continually. And that's found again in Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word. And then over in chapter 3 and verse 8, this is a faithful saying. You may not be able to play the piano. And you may not be able to sing. And you may not be able to preach. And you may not be able to teach. But I'll tell you what you can do and everybody can do. And that's be faithful. Just be faithful. Every time. Now, let's talk for a few moments about people. I hear people, you hear them too, and they say, well, I don't believe that you have to be at the house of God, in the church house, every time the doors are open. You've heard that, no doubt. People have said to you, well, I go every now and then, but I don't think I have to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, whatever. And they believe, they say, and they tell you that I just don't think I have to do that. And you know what? The whole reality is this. They really don't have to. Okay. But here's the question. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're truly born again, number one, shouldn't there be in our hearts a passion for the things of the Lord? Let me show you, so hold your place in Titus and back up over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 for a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 3 is the passage. It deals with the qualifications of pastors and deacons. And let me show you where the calling of a pastor begins. In verse number 1 of chapter 3, 1 Timothy, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. First qualification to being a preacher is desire. Having a desire to preach the gospel. Last night I had the opportunity to sit in on the ordination council and service of Brother David Toler. Many of you know Brother Toler. He's been in our church many times. And so his church that he is assistant pastor of, Tabernacle Baptist Church in Bassett, convened a council and we met, we discussed and we talked about different things. And we were talking about the calls and qualifications of a pastor. And the first and foremost thing that here is talked about in verse 1 is the desire. And as many preachers have said through the years, as far as being called to preach, if you can do anything else other than preach the gospel, do it. That's right. Uh-oh. You know why? Because the ministry is so unusual. It's so different. Because God calls a preacher, a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, and they have an unusual work, an unusual ministry. You better know that you're called by God, because if you're not, you're not going to be able to deal with it. Because there's so much out there. There's so much heartache and there's so much pain. People look at the spotlight of the ministry and say, oh, these preachers, they get to stand up in their pulpits and everybody gets to look at them. And they go to conferences and they go to camp meetings and all of these things. But the whole truth of the matter is, there is an old adage, it's very true. He who lives in glass house. And a preacher lives in a glass house. And he's always going to, and he will be scrutinized, and his children are going to be scrutinized. And I always think it's a commendable thing that if preachers' children still go to church, I think it's commendable. You know as well as I do, they're PKs, as we call them, they don't go to church. You know why they don't go to church? It's because of hellions that sat in church pews and destroyed their daddies. And they said, if that's what it's all about, I don't want nothing to do with it. You say, preacher, why are you saying all this? I'm saying that it all boils down to this, that as I study, when a man is called to be a preacher, there is one qualification that is important for that preacher, and that is faithfulness. God will not call an unfaithful man to be a preacher. God will not call a man that goes to church 3 out of 7 times. He is not going to call that man to preach. Because why? Let's look at another verse for a second. Let's back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for a moment, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found, say that word, faithful. And you say, well, preachers ought to be faithful. Preachers ought to be at church all the time. That's their job. But the truth of the matter is, before that man is ever called to be a preacher, he must prove himself to God in basic faith. Now, if it's required of a lay man to be faithful, then what about a lay woman? What about children, teenagers? It's important to be faithful. And yet, something as simple as faithfulness is so neglected in the church today. Dr. Andy Petrillo, that comes up periodically and preaches when he goes up to do his graduate work at Liberty, we'll always, when I go down to Florida, he and I'll always go out together, and he'll show me all the things that are going on. And it's a different world down there, I'm telling you, it is. And I never will forget one time he took me to a church building that was, I don't know how many millions of dollars it took to build this edifice. He said, on Sunday morning, he said, that church will be very full. He said, but on Sunday night and Wednesday night, they don't meet in that building. They go back to the old church building because nobody comes back like they did for Sunday morning. And he said, they cannot afford to air condition that big building 3 times a week. So they use it Sunday morning, and then they use the old church building Sunday night and Wednesday night. Now, what's wrong with that? I'm not sure. This verse says more of it's required in what? Stewards. I wonder how wise that is, to build an edifice that you're going to only use one day a week. Then go back and use the old property or the old building for 2 weeks because people are not what? Faithful. Something's wrong. Now, why should we go to church? Why should we be faithful? Is it going to get you into heaven if you're at church every time the doors are open? No. Then why do we go to church? Why do we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening? Or some churches may not have a particular service. Some churches may not have a Sunday night service. They may just have Sunday morning, Wednesday night. But whenever they meet, why do we go there? We go there for this reason, that it ought to be something that we desire and want to do because it helps our spiritual man. If we say, oh no, I've got to go to church, you know what? We just might as well shouldn't go. Because what we want to do is we want to come and be a example to other people in the church. We want to have a good testimony. We want to be a good encouragement. Isn't it an encouragement when you just come in and see people come to church? And I mean, let's talk, isn't it a blessing? Isn't it an encouragement? I got to say it. Isn't it an encouragement to see a 99-year-old saint of God come to church? Isn't that an encouragement? If anybody has an excuse not to go to church, this lady's got an excuse not to go to church. But I remember that those few months that she couldn't come. And we would go every Sunday afternoon and visit with her, and she'd be in tears because she'd say, "Preacher, I want to be in church." And I just think it's exciting that God worked it out so she can be in church, because she is an encouragement to each one of us. But see, she was in tears because she couldn't be in church. And yet, you know like I know how many people have the glorious privilege and opportunity to be in God's house, and they just won't do it. Now, I want you to understand that I'm not grinding axes. Do not misunderstand me. I'm not trying to say, well, bless God. What I'm saying is, that I'm trying to encourage you, that you being in God's house is an encouragement to somebody else. It's a blessing. Now, we've got some folk. Now, you say, well, there are times, and I mean, Sister Parsons, many times, and I have no doubt, she's exhausted and she can't come back on Sunday night. But you know what? She comes back when she can. Amen. I know Miss Betty's run into some situations. She can't come back on Sunday nights like she used to, but she's here when she can. You see what I'm saying? What is that? That's being an encouragement. That's coming together. All right? Let's go for another. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 now. Find Hebrews for me. Hey, Hebrews chapter, I don't use it. Just flip so many different places. But I want you to see some things from the Word of the Lord about this thing of faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 10. Many of you can probably quote this verse. Word perfect. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How long should I go to the house of God? Until I see the day approaching. What day is that? That's the coming of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've said it before and I still believe it. I look and I see. I do not mean to be a prophet of gloom and doom. I heard somebody on the news, they were talking about, you know, the other day when the stock market plummeted. Over 1,000 points in one day. That hadn't happened in years and years and years, they said. And I look at that, and somebody made the statement on there, said, well, do you think we're looking at another recession? I told my wife, I said, another one? We haven't left the first one yet. And what was so funny is after I got that out of my mouth, the person they were talking to said the same thing. And I said, well, at least I'm not totally idiotic. We've got this high rate of unemployment. People say we're out of the recession. No, we're not. We've not left the recession. And I got news for you. If God Almighty doesn't intervene, we're going to go into a depression. This thing's not over yet. Now, you say, preacher, why are you doing the doom and gloom thing? I'm not trying to do doom and gloom, but what I am trying to say is that when we go back to that book of Revelation, and in chapter 4, it talks about the rapture of the church where the Bible says, come up hither. Then you move over to the 6th chapter and you start seeing that there's a white horse. And that white horse there is not the same white horse you read about in 19th chapter Revelation. 19th chapter is Jesus coming back, riding a white horse along with you and I who will be coming at that time at the close of the tribulation period. At the beginning of the tribulation period, that white horse is a counterfeit. That white horse is the Antichrist, and he will come on the scene because as you go back and you read those, go back and read next time those four horses of the apocalypse, as they're called, and you go and look at the different situations, and one of the things that's going to take place, he's going to have to step out and save the world from global economic disaster. But you've got to understand that for him to step out and reveal himself after the rapture, there's got to be a mess already here. I am not a date setter. That dude was wrong on April 21st or May 21st, whenever it was he did that. And I heard that he's coming back. He's retracted this thing again. October now, he's saying. October 21st, 22nd, he's saying now. He's wrong. It'll be any day but that. Because we know the Bible and what the Bible teaches about that. But the point is, it is not going to be long. And he said, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. What does it mean to exhort one another? To encourage one another. To lift one another up. To be together. To pray together. To talk together. To encourage one another. Okay? Now, people have all kinds of reasons why they don't want to go to church and don't want to be faithful. But I'll tell you the main reason people don't go to church. It's because when they come to church, they hear the Word of God and they can't take it. Can't take the Word of the Lord. Because the Word of God convicts. It's sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword. And it divides asunder. The Word of God is a powerful thing, and people don't want that. But I'm commissioned that as we see the day approaching, the coming of the Lord, we need to be faithful. I want to encourage you today, when you get discouraged, when you think, what's the use? When you talk to people on your job site, or you talk to family members, and you talk to your neighbors, and you talk to people, and it seems like you're getting no place fast, as Mo used to say on the Three Stooges. Keep on keeping on. Keep being faithful. Keep on serving God. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Nobody else may be doing it. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. You and I need to do it because it's right to do it. And we need to be faithful. Faithful. God talks so much about being faithful. And faithfulness is an important principle of the Christian life. We were talking about the passage about preachers. God is not going to call a preacher to the gospel ministry until, first of all, the Bible says, he that is faithful in little will also be faithful in that which is much. And you can't expect somebody, people, there are all kinds of people that want to serve on boards. They want to serve on committees. You know what a committee is? A committee is a group of people that were commissioned to band together and to build a horse, and they wound up with a camel. That's a committee. And some people, they just want to be on a committee and they want to be important. But you know what? They don't want to get down and do the downright dirty work. Faithfulness is in little things. Faithfulness is in just coming in and picking up a scrap of paper off the floor. Faithfulness is just seeing something that needs to be done that's so tiny and insignificant. But doing that is what? It's being faithful. It's being faithful. And that's what we need to do. We just need to be faithful. God help us and teach us the lessons of being faithful. Because people are looking at us and people are judging us. And the Bible talks about we are living epistles read of men. And we need, people are not going to pick up a Bible and read this Bible. They're going to read my life though. And I appreciated some things last night at this ordination council, and I'll just share it with you, but I appreciate the fact I had some young preacher boys that came to me last night that was serving on this ordination council, and I taught them. I had two young men on the council last night that I taught in Christian day schools. And then I had, I'm not sure how many else I had that I taught in actual Bible college. But the ones that I had in Christian day school, they said to me, they said, I just want to tell you, and said, I had one young man came to me, he said, I've never told you this. He said, but I want to thank you for your faithful investing in my life. And he says, I have never told you that, but he says, I want to tell you now. And I taught him when he was a teenager in Christian day school, not Bible college, but Christian day school. And he says, I want to thank you for being faithful. And he says, I've never told you that, but he says, I want to thank you. And I appreciated that. Because you know what? You don't know sometimes. You don't know and I don't know if we're making any kind of impact on anybody's life. And guess what? You may not know till you get to heaven. But think about this. If you're faithful, maybe you're going to encourage somebody along the way. Maybe somebody may never tell you to your face, but they're going to say, boy, I sure do thank God for sister so-and-so, or brother so-and-so. Man, they were faithful. Oh, I wish I could have told them how faithful they were. My heart was broken. My wife's heart was broken this week because I was sharing with you we were down at Cape Fear Baptist Church. And the pastor there, I don't know, some of you may or may not know, Brother Braddy. Brother Braddy was a student at GBI years ago. He and his wife had one son. And I think he was 19 years of age. And died. They found his body in the bed, 19 years of age. Don't really know what the cause of death was, but his name was Adam. And Adam had gotten right with the Lord only a few weeks before he died. He got messed up with the wrong crowd. He got messed up in drugs, things like that. But he got right. He started serving the Lord. And then one morning, Thursday morning, his mama walked in and he was dead in the bed. You pray for that dear family, that's the only child they had. And you pray they're having a hard time. This was 5 months ago he died. And just pray for them. But, you know, she said to us, and tears rolling down her face, she said, that's Wednesday night. We'd been to church. He came home. He went to his bedroom. And she says, I never got to tell him that I loved him. And I never got to hug his neck. And naturally, because she had no concept this young man was going into eternity in less than 24 hours. But she said, if I have a regret, she says, I have a regret that I did not tell him how much I loved him. She was beating herself to death. Can I say to you today, if somebody has been faithful and a blessing to you, tell them. Tell them. Don't keep it a secret. Tell somebody that's been a blessing to you. Say thank you for being faithful, because that's what it's all about, faithfulness. We're faithful not because it makes us saved. Some people think that. The Jehovah Witness go up and down the roads. You know why they go up and down the roads on their bicycles and do their conversions? Because there's only, according to the Bible, where they distort the Bible, there's only 144,000 getting in. Well, guess what? They superseded that years and years ago. So now they got to bump people off to get in. So the more they work, the harder they work, they're hoping to get their own place secure and knock somebody else out. That's kind of cruel, isn't it? But that's the way their doctrinal belief is. We're not doing anything to get saved. We're doing it because we are saved. That's why we're doing it. God bless you for your faithfulness. And I appreciate your faithfulness. And I pray that God will always help every one of us to be faithful. And you say, I can't do anything, preacher. I don't have gifts and abilities. It's all right. Be faithful. God will bless you for being faithful. Let's pray. Now, Father, I thank you for your love to us, and I thank you for what the Bible teaches about faithfulness. And, Lord, we just looked at many verses today and studied what the Bible says about being faithful. Encourage us, Lord. We may not be able to do much of anything else. We may not be able to sing or preach or teach or do certain things, but we can be faithful. And help us to be faithful. Thank you for this body of believers, for the folks of this church that are faithful and hold by the stuff. And I pray your blessings upon this church. I pray that because of the faithfulness of your people, you'll help this church to grow and prosper. And Father, we'll see new people come into this church. We might do more things for God. But in the meantime, help us to be faithful. And I pray for somebody that's lost, they'll come to know Jesus and be saved today. Speak to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. Brother?
Number 249, just as I am. Number 249, as we all stand.
Close our eyes. Sister, play through one more time. No one comes. That'll close our invitation time this morning. You be seated. Thank you. I'm going to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. If you're not prepared for that, we'll give you a few minutes to get ready to give to the Lord today. Ask the gentleman to come. Again, let's pray for Brother and Sister Barbara as they'll be going out of town this evening. Pray for us as we'll be going back and forth this week for our Bible school in South Boston, Revelation Baptist Church. Pray for our Bible school. Let's pray that God will give us a great day. Pray as we get all these things taken care of, that the Lord will bless our kids' Bible blast, as we're calling it. And so you pray for that as well. Miss Pam, let's get you to meet with all the people that are interested in maybe going bowling. Miss Holly's going back the 18th, I think, and next weekend. If we do something and have her included, it'll have to be next weekend, I think, if the calendar's what I'm thinking it is. So maybe some of the folks that would like to go, if you'll come down here, and I'll let you kind of coordinate some things, because I've got some other meetings I have to take care of. And so all the young people and all, if you'd like to go bowling, we went last year, and we went to Lunar Golf. And we may not be, bowling might not be as dangerous as Lunar Golf, because Terry was with us. And that
ball went everywhere. It was like bing, 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 bing. And so maybe the bowling ball thing will not be so deadly. All right, so anyway, so keep that in mind, if you will, please. Let me share this with you. I think, what is the date today? Is today the 7th? Okay, let me go ahead and share this. Put on your calendar exactly 1 month from today, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That will be Wednesday through Saturday, the 7th through the 10th of September. We're going to have our missions revival. Missions revival in exactly a month from today. Our missions speaker, revival speaker, will be Dr. Billy Martin. Dr. Martin's going to be with us. So pray for that missions revival. We're going to have some missionaries come in. We're going to have Brother Ron Peel's going to be one of our missionaries visit with us. He just started the tent ministry called Camp Meeting Ministries. Also, he's not only doing that, but he's also involved in disaster relief ministry and helping out people that go through the tornadoes and hurricanes and all like that. We've got another brother going to be here, Brother J.D. Walker, who's taken over the ministry of Brother Roger Williams in developing churches in the Philippines. He'll be with us. And then we're going to have a missionary by the name of Brother Stephen Schutt, S-H-U-T-T. He is with Bearing Precious Seed Ministries. What I'm going to do also is I'm going to ask him to bring some of the Bearing Precious Seed Bibles. If there's a particular Bible you're looking for, if you'll let me know, he has several. The thing that's so nice about the Bearing Precious Seed Bibles is that you get these Bibles for $50 and $55, genuine leather. The leather is what I call butter. It just, you fold that thing back and it just bounces right back. And it's nice. It is about $150 for those Bibles in a bookstore. But you can get them for about $50 to $55 through the Buried and Precious Seed Ministries. And he's going to be sharing their ministry, getting out the Word of God all over the world. So those are three of our missionaries that we've got scheduled for our missions revival. So keep that in mind. Be in prayer for it. Put it on your prayer list. And let's pray that God will give us a great missions revival like we did last year. I think we had a wonderful revival, missions revival last year. And we look forward to this. So keep that in mind. And Brother Julius, as we can see your face right now, we don't see the pine yet, but we'll let you go ahead and lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the message and your many blessings on us. The pleasure of blessings as we head our separate ways this afternoon, Lord. Get us to good afternoon, Lord. Bring us back to Stephen safely. The pleasure of blessing the offering. The pleasure of blessing the giver.
Have a good afternoon. Don't forget, meet up here. Those of you be interested in going bowling maybe next Saturday, come meet with Miss Pam and get that wall taken care of.